All right, you guys, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, a good dude all around, and a longtime conservative. And I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in a few minutes. All right, let me just start off by saying, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but Democrats are like really sore losers. Has anybody else noticed that? Democrats are like the ultimate in sore losers. They lost in 2016 when their anointed candidate, Hillary Clinton, wouldn't even come out to see her supporters the night of the election. Do you remember that? Can you imagine? There were people in a crowded room who had given nearly 2 years of their lives campaigning and working and striving to make Hillary the Democrat president and break all the glass ceilings in the world. And then the results came in, and Trump won, and they were crushed, and they were depressed. And then there were actually some actual tears in the room, if you remember the videos. And Hillary, though, she did not even come out to thank her people or say a word. She sent one of her minions out to tell them all to go home. It wasn't just her, though. Remember this? Kamala did the same thing. Do you remember that? Kamala Harris, the night of the election, Vice President of the United States. With results being so amazingly strong against her, she hid in the back room and she didn't come out to say anything to her people. She just pouted in the back room somewhere. Sore loser. And by the way, let's go back to Hillary again. Let's not forget that after Hillary suffered defeat at the hands of Donald Trump, the Trump machine that she helped orchestrate 4 years of attacks and rogue impeachment and lawfare and election integrity issues all the way up through 2020. In classic sore loser fashion, Democrats were not just willing to concede and then work to fight another day. No, they literally chose to try and burn down the House on the way out. Well, we're watching the same thing happen right now with the government shutdown. Democrats are still upset that Trump trounced them in the 2024 election. And in a massive tantrum, they are squalling their way into history as the group who refused to vote for the same funding bill they voted for 6 months ago and instead just simply shut it all down. Just burn down the House, y'all. The longest and potentially costliest sore loser temper tantrum in U.S. history. They can't get what they want, so they burn down the House. Look, I don't know if any of y'all are boxing fans. I am. I'm a fan. Not avidly, but I love to watch boxing. But there was one fight that I actually did do the whole pay-per-view thing for, right? I had some guys over to the house, and we set it all up in the den back when pay-per-view was a lot bigger deal and harder to do. You had to actually go check out the box at Comcast and bring it to your house and set it up. Anyway, for those of you that don't remember those days, yeah, it was kind of interesting to do pay-per-view. And, of course, this was in the days of clunky computer screens and cell phones that did not fit in your pocket and newspapers that actually still showed up on your doorstep in the morning. But I digress. The fight that I'm talking about was Tyson Holyfield. Remember that? Tyson Holyfield fight. Actually, it was their second fight, June of 97. The two men had already met for their first bout just 7 months prior to that, and the world watched an epic upset as Evander Holyfield, against 25-1 odds, completely outboxed Mike Tyson. Left him out on his feet in the 10th round. A technical knockout, TKO, no denying it. Holyfield became the only man besides Muhammad Ali to win the world heavyweight title 3 times that night. But the one that I watched on pay-per-view was 7 months later. It was notorious too, but for other reasons. So yeah, I paid good money for what became a nothingness of a 2.5-round debacle. In the second round, after taking an initial beating and complaining of a headbutt, Tyson and Holyfield were in a clinch and Tyson inexplicably bit off a chunk of Holyfield's ear and he spit it out on the canvas. For reasons unknown, the fight was allowed to go on, and dang if Tyson didn't bite Holyfield's other ear in the next round. Now, at that point, the fight was stopped. Holyfield was declared the winner. But before and after that fight, the before and after, were very telling. You see, I can remember watching the before, when they're in the locker rooms, and each locker room was entirely different. They had their different approaches to gearing up. In Tyson's locker room, there was angry rap music blaring. There was a bunch of guys playing the part of gangsters and hangers-on. They're standing around telling him he was the greatest. They were yelling profanity, telling him what he was going to do because it was his right to do it. It was prideful. It was arrogant. It was angry. It was like there was a massive chip on everybody's shoulder. Holyfield's locker room, completely different. There was praise music playing. One guy kept shouting scripture at him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With lots of amens, lots of encouragement. You talk about opposites. And then there was the fight. Like, sort of fight, with ear bites and everything. Holyfield went to his corner, but on the way he got pushed from behind by Tyson. Security had to come into the ring and guard Holyfield from an enraged Tyson and then force Tyson back into his corner. After the fight, Tyson lost his boxing license. He went down in history as the biggest sore loser in the history of the whole sport. Well, many years later, Tyson has actually worked to try and rehabilitate his personal image, but he's always struggled since that day. Not because he lost, but because of what he did after he lost. You see, those ear bites, they didn't occur because things were going his way. He was lashing out because of the perceived headbutt and the general whooping that he was getting. But he lost because of his inability to stay on task and fight the way he was trained. And when the fight was called for Holyfield, he just lost it. He cast blame. He took no ownership for his part in the loss. Basically, the ear bite was a giant tantrum. It was apparent from his pre-fight locker room that Tyson and Holyfield, they had different underpinnings, if you will. The two of the men had different motivations. They had different worldviews overall. And what happened when the fight didn't go his way with Tyson was likely built upon what was already there before the fight even started. And that's my point. You see, sometimes how you exit, how you leave the arena, is just as important as how you would have been if you stayed. What you do with a loss can really mean way more than what you do with a victory. I'll never forget when I was at Ranger School so many years ago, an experience that honestly like made me want to quit several times a day. I was in the back of a deuce and a half truck coming in from the final patrol of the desert phase in Utah. That meant that I was done, right? The patrol was over. I had passed. All I had to do was go back to the graduation ceremony, except we were told in no uncertain terms that until we graduated, we were not graduated. You know what I'm saying? And that honor violations could still keep us from becoming Rangers. Well, somebody in the truck said something about that, kind of as a word of caution, and it caused a comment about another one of the guys who was in the truck who just smiled and didn't say much. But when I asked what was up, I was kind of shocked at the answer. This guy sitting in the truck next to me in my Ranger class, he had just completed all of Ranger school for the second time. It turns out he had finished once before, but right before graduation, he got caught stealing a candy bar that he wasn't allowed to have. And that was an honor violation. And he got him boloed out of the course, despite having met all the training requirements. But you know what he did, though? The guy went back to his unit, and he worked his way back up the order of merit list, and he won the right to come back and do the whole thing over again a year later. One of the hardest physical and mental military schools in the entire world, and the dude did it for a second time. And just to go ahead and make it a little sweeter, he wasn't even a line dude. He was a cook in the 75th Ranger Regiment, a combat spoon. And he was not going to let his legacy in the Ranger Regiment be a failure. So he proved himself in the aftermath of his failure. And he came back and secured his legacy forever. I say all this to say, watching Democrats right now, which one would you rather have? Somebody who loses and fights their way back to prevail again another day? Or somebody who bites the ear off? Somebody who doesn't even bother thanking their people? Somebody who just throws a fit? You see, here's the thing. Losing sucks, but losing happens. What you do with it is what defines you. And to be honest, this state and this nation could use some of those voices in the days to come. You see, Democrats have got to return to the fight. They do. They're going to have to return to the fight with some sense of normalcy. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want Democrats to ever win. Not once. I don't care if they ever win another election. But what is causing more harm right now is the aftermath of the way they're handling their loss. Because it appears to me they have lost all decorum, all professionalism. Democrats right now, in the wake of their loss of 2024, are literally burning down the House just because they can't get their way. And yet, the reality is, Republicans are not going to step aside and give them what they want. Democrats have got to earn it. I mean, like, earn it. Like the guy at Ranger School who chose to come back and do the whole thing over again. And that's the rub. You see, Democrats, they don't want to have to earn it. The Democrat Party has spent years cultivating two mindsets in their people. One of those key ingredients in any temper tantrum on the heels of any loss is a victim mentality combined with a sense of entitlement. And the Democrats have spent too many years cultivating those things. They have told their base over and over again that they're victims, that systemic racism and misogyny and oppression is somehow stacked against them. The world is filled with victims kept in check by the man who has privilege and oppresses them at every turn. And what do victims need? They need rescuing. And when victims don't get what they want, they believe that they're being picked on. You need this. I need this. You can't have that. I want that. And that's what they do. Democrats have created an era of entitlement where people get something for nothing just because they're victims. So free this, free that. Government provides. Democrats write checks. But when those who have been told that life is hard because they're victims, but that victims might not get their next unearned thing, guess what? That's when the fits begin. That's when they bite off the ear. That's when the tantrums kick in. That's when people do things that they shouldn't do. That's when they burn down the house and shut down the government. So to all of you who have ever leaned towards the Democrat Party, just hear me out. What you do right now matters. Because in this life, you will have trouble. We're told that in Scripture. It's what you do in the wake of the trouble that defines who you are. And right now, the Democrat Party is defined by a bunch of sore losers throwing tantrums and shutting down the government and keeping good people from getting paid. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.